Good afternoon, it's 12:06 and 40 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
We are proposing to add 4 additional classrooms onto Rodman Elementary.
Construction projects are getting underway in the Rowan County School District. Health professionals are hoping more kids will get vaccinated. State leaders are asking for COVID vigilance during the holiday weekend. Last year's state COVID numbers have been finalized. Energy experts say residents could save $500 a year on energy cost. In sports, Moorhead State football is getting postseason accolades. Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 26 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. An $11 million renovation at Clearfield Elementary School is expected to begin in earnest within the next few weeks. The district has more projects on deck. A combination of local bonding and American Rescue Plan Act monies will allow the Rowan District to replace several HVAC systems, expand classrooms, and replace windows and roofs. Superintendent John Maxey says the Clearfield project should take around 18 months.
If everything stays on schedule, we might complete that project a little early, so it could potentially be next Christmas we could be wrapping that project up at Clearfield. We'll just have to see how everything goes and if it stays on schedule and that type of thing. But we are certainly hopeful that by this time next year, that project will be almost completed.
Maxey says there are plans to install a new HVAC system, new gym flooring and lighting at Tilden Hogg Elementary, and a new roof at the high school. Health leaders in Kentucky are urging children who are eligible to get vaccinated before the Christmas holidays. Dr. Crystal Miller is the WED County Public Health Director. Her children, 12-year-old Stan and 6-year-old Miles, are active in sports, and she chose to get them vaccinated. She tells WKYT with COVID-19 cases rising in Scott County, unvaccinated children in the area could be at risk of getting sick, especially as people gather during the holiday season.
But there are, instances that we are seeing in the data that kids are having a very tough time. And so that's a small percentage. And the piece of this is the unknown, right? Is your child going to be one that's negatively impacted?
Miller says people should make sure they're gathering their research on the vaccine from credible sources, not social media. In his last COVID-19 briefing before Thanksgiving, Governor Andy Beshear urged Kentuckians to stay safe and cognizant of risk associated with the COVID-19 virus. Cases are currently the highest they've been in 4 weeks, but Beshear says it's too early to tell if this is the beginning of another surge. He asked Kentuckians who are not vaccinated to wear masks indoors during their celebrations and keep attendance at their gatherings to a minimum.
As tired as we are of dealing with COVID, we can't pretend like it is not still with us. Nobody wants to look back at their Thanksgiving or Christmas gathering and realize that was when somebody got really sick who is no longer with us, right? So again, that's not to scare people. That's to say these are the tools where it can be safe.
According to LEX18, Beshear presented a slide during his briefing Monday that included steps to stay safe through the holiday week, including vaccinations, booster shots, staying home if feeling unwell, and wearing a mask if unvaccinated. The State Department of Public Health released finalized COVID-19 numbers for 2020. WMKY's Ethan Jenkins has more.
2,101 new COVID-19 cases across the Commonwealth were announced on Friday, bringing the case total to 769,732. 1,008 cases from 2020 were determined to not meet the state's surveillance definition for a confirmed or probable case and thus were removed from the overall case total. 600 of the new cases were children 18 and younger, 778 Kentuckians remain hospitalized, 203 people remain in the ICU with 104 on a ventilator. The state's positivity rate held steady at 6.24%, The governor also announced 212 new COVID-19 deaths on Friday, bringing the statewide total to 10,606. 84 of the deaths were those added to the final 2020 report, meaning 128 deaths are classified as new deaths. For WMKY News, I'm Ethan Jenkins.
Energy experts say the expanded rebates and tax credits proposed in President Joe Biden's Build Back Better Act could potentially save consumers up to $500 a year on household energy costs. U.S. House Democrats say they're intent on passing Biden's comprehensive climate and social spending package this week. Elgie Holstein with the Environmental Defense Fund says the bill is expected to bring down the cost of electricity by strengthening the nation's electrical grid.
So that we have more efficiency and less loss of energy and electricity, and that will mean lower costs for utilities and lower costs for consumers over a period of years.
According to the Biden administration, the Build Back Better Act includes grants and loans to specifically help rural residents tap into clean energy opportunities. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Business leaders in Martin County have created a new company called Biofuel Mining to service application-specific integrated circuits. The company will begin by staffing a 200-person repair center at an Inez power plant. Leaders saw the opportunity to bring Eastern Kentucky a new type of job that's on the forefront of technology. State Senator Brandon Smith tells WYMT the company is not reliant on any government funding.
You know, in Eastern Kentucky, we're really on our own. And the quicker we accept that and get over having our feelings hurt and grab ourselves and pull ourselves up and create our own industry, the better off we're going to be.
For more information about job opportunities within the company, visit jobs at biofuelmining.com. Food banks across the country are preparing to help families who may be experiencing food insecurity this holiday season. According to Feeding America, one out of eight people in the U.S. may still experience food insecurity this year. President and CEO of the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, Michael Flood, tells Wave 3 that families who are trying to pay off rent and bills struggle the most to find affordable food.
We're still running more than double the food volume from the pre-pandemic period. We fill the gaps with food purchases for what we're not seeing in the donated inventory, and that's where we're seeing some struggles.
Flood says Dare to Care will partner with local shelters and food pantries to distribute food to the community this year. An official at Big Sandy Regional Detention Center says seven male inmates overdosed Monday morning. Detention Center Administrator Brian Hansford said three different incidents occurred a couple of hours apart, all in the same cell. Those individuals were treated with Narcan and taken to Paul B. Hall Medical Center. According to WYMT, four inmates returned to the jail while three were still in the hospital on Monday evening. The inmates were at the facility for no more than 5 or 6 days, according to officials. The drug that caused the overdose has not yet been identified. The investigation into the incident is ongoing, according to officials with the detention center. Mount Sterling police are hoping the public can help locate a stolen truck. Michael Richards was away for the weekend and let his truck at EAS Incorporated on Evans Avenue. When he came to work on Sunday, the truck was gone. He tells WKYT surveillance videos show people in a red Nissan Titan stealing the truck in broad daylight, just a little after 9 on Sunday morning. But the truck theft took a few more bizarre turns.
It had broke loose from one vehicle that was pulling it, and they pulled it into rehook, and people were watching them, and they just didn't realize that it was being stolen.
Richard said police told him they've had few vehicles stolen recently, but he says he's hopeful with all the social media attention he'll get his truck back soon. Police are asking anyone with information to contact them on Facebook or give them a call. The man charged after a driver noticed a girl give a hand gesture made popular on TikTok is now facing a much higher bond. 61-year-old James Brick was arrested after a driver noticed the passenger with him give a hand signal for "I need help." A grand jury in Laurel County returned an indictment against Brick last week for one count of kidnapping. The charges refer to a 16-year-old girl police say left North Carolina with Brick willingly, but later wanted to leave and Brick refused. Commonwealth's attorney Jackie Steele tells WIMT there's a reason for the higher bond.
With our grand jury scheduling, the 60-day rule would have ran before the next January grand jury date, and he would have been released. So they brought the one count of kidnapping, and we suspect there may be more charges coming after more evidence has been evaluated.
Brick will be back in court January 19th when he could face additional charges. More details have been released about a shooting Friday afternoon in Martin County that started with an argument over CB radio. The incident happened in the 700 block of Peter Cave Branch just after 11 a.m. According to the Martin County Sheriff's Office, the shooting suspect is 66-year-old Noah Bowen Jr. Deputies say Bowen drove to the home of William Johnson, where the two met in the driveway, and Bowen shot Johnson and proceeded to beat him afterwards. Sheriff John Kirk tells WSAZ he believes the dispute was a result of years of tension between the two men.
Just personal things over the years, I think, have been built up. They'd had hard feelings for many years. Mm-hmm. And the shooter said that he had just taken all he could take.
Johnson suffered a gunshot wound to the stomach and right side. He was flown to a hospital where he underwent surgery Friday evening. Bowen faces first-degree assault charges and is currently lodged at the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center. No bond has been set. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tonight, clear skies, a low around 26. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, a high near 53. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low around 39. Thanksgiving Day, showers likely, mainly after 4 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 50. Thursday night, rain and snow showers with a low around 31. And for your Black Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 38. On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff discusses a hot-button issue that's been a problem for centuries.
An impressive feature of racism is that it does not discriminate. Racists do, but racism itself is impressively free of boundaries, barriers, and cultural checkpoints. Racism does, simply, do very well everywhere it appears. No, it does not appear everywhere, but everywhere it appears, it does equally well in taking its familiar shapes, regardless of who is participating. All racism needs is two groups, or two persons, who make presumptions based on group affiliation. It's easier to make than bread. Racism's cousins, bigotry and prejudice, look and sound the same in practice, regardless of the race of the practitioners. This is an amazing feature of racism. How slick and easy does it move? How well it adapts to the particulars of confrontation? How its practice is praised by the perpetrators and condemned by recipients and observers? Some other familiar common features of everyday racism remind me of middle school na-na sessions. Here's one. I know you are, but what am I? And lather, 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 I'm not listening, sung while covering one's ears. The answer to, I know you are, but what am I, is the front end of your question answers the back end. And the answer to, lather, 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 I'm not listening, is to giggle and run off and play. You may have noticed I've focused not just on how people look, but also on how they sound. That would include what phonemes, morphemes, words, and thoughts they cobble up. Of the two, to racists, sound seems to be the most important. Remember, we have seen lately that people who look as if they are in one group are accused of being racist for the other side because she or he sounds the wrong way, that is, dares to utter thoughts that are intolerable. Racism and hate like to make out in a back seat. Under that seat is stuffed a bushel of unimpeachable reasons for retribution. Maybe this is the golden thread that touches every cultural garment we know of and is woven into the racist tapestry, no matter what spot in the world it hangs. This is what's so impressive about racism. Across history to today and into the foreseeable future, racism does not appear to discriminate in the least in rearing its hideous nine heads. It slithers, hisses, foments, conjures, is poetic, appeals, focuses, recruits, and why it even feels like love sometimes. Just listen to how people tend to it, care for it, keep it watered, want it. What racism proves, oddly, is there is something people can share in common. Now, what if it were replaced with something else? Oh, I don't know. Love?
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaf.
Support for MSPR comes from C. Roger Lewis Insurance and Grange Insurance, 129 East Main Street, Moorhead. The C. Roger Insurance Agency has been serving the insurance needs of Moorhead, Rowan County, and all of Eastern Kentucky since 1958. Located on Main Street in downtown Moorhead, C. Roger Lewis Insurance offers insurance needs for home, auto, farm, business, nonprofits, and government agencies. If you own it, they can insure it. John Eisen, Betty King, or Renee Genter can be reached at 606-784-4168 or on Facebook under C. Roger Lewis Insurance Agency.
It's 40 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ethan Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Tanner Boyd has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this sunny Tuesday afternoon.
Moorhead State football is up for several accolades after concluding their season over the weekend. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd. No single wide receiver in Moorhead State program history can say he's set four records on one day, except B.J. Byrd. The dynamic wideout for the Eagles is one of the best in the nation at catching balls, making defenders miss, and scoring touchdowns. And now he has been named a finalist for the Walter Payton Award. The award is presented to the nation's best FCS offensive player. A 50-member national media panel will select the winner, who will be announced on January 7th in Frisco, Texas, the eve of the FCS championship game. Here's head coach Rob Tenier discussing Burt's performance following his record-setting day against Stetson.
And then obviously everybody's talking about B.J. Byrd's day. 12 receptions, almost 250 yards, four touchdowns. You know, broke four records. Pretty special day for him, and what a way to finish his last game at James Stadium.
In just 18 career games, Byrd ranks sixth in receiving yards and fourth in touchdowns in program history. A first-team All-PFL honoree in spring 2021 as wide receiver and all-purpose athlete, he was also named Academic All-PFL in spring of 2021 and to the PFL Academic Honor Roll. Members of the Moorhead State football team garnered conference nods on both sides of the football this week. After their performances and a win against Valparaiso Saturday, Moorhead State senior quarterback Mark Pappas and senior linebacker Vincent Winey have earned Pioneer League Player of the Week accolades. Pappas was named the Offensive Player of the Week for the third time this season, while Winey was tabbed the league's Defensive Player of the Week. Pappas, from Avon Lake, Ohio, tossed a trio of touchdown passes to senior wideout Devontae Adams in the 51-38 victory at Valparaiso. He finished the season with 3,446 passing yards, the second highest single-season total in program history. Winey, a native of Lindenhurst, New York, posted a game-best 14 tackles and a game-securing pick six Saturday. His 24-yard interception return for a touchdown with a minute 22 left in the fourth quarter put Moorhead State up 51-30. He wrapped up his career with 236 tackles as an Eagle, including 106 this fall, which is the most in the PFL and the most for an Eagle since 2012. The season wrapped up for Moorhead State volleyball over the weekend, with the Eagles ending up as the Ohio Valley Conference runner-up. Now the team has some big shoes to fill. Olivia Lohmeyer, who will go down as one of the most decorated players in OVC history, led the Eagles with 18 kills in their final match and finished her career with 1,989 kills, which is third place in OVC history. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker-McBride says the team will definitely have to adjust their offense in Lohmeyer's absence, but the mark she has left on the team will be apparent for a long time.
One of the best things about Liv is that she has done a great job just leading, and especially with our younger players. And so I know in 4 or 5 years, we'll still hear Liv's words said by people who will be seniors at that point. And so I think she's done a great job of leaving a legacy within this team.
Morehead State's beach volleyball team will get to work at the beginning of the spring semester, with competition set to get underway in late February. After claiming their first victory of the season, the Morehead State women's basketball team is preparing for a 4-game road trip that begins in Moon Township, Pennsylvania, as they take on Robert Morris Wednesday. The Eagles picked up their first win in head coach Caleb Petrie's Division I career on the strength of 4 scores in double figures. Petrie says getting the win was nice, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
I wasn't super happy with our energy and our effort, but, you know, to get that win is special. I liked it that everybody played. You know, we had, I believe, do we have 4 people in double digits? Jalan McDonald, Jada Claude, Lauren Carter, and Terry Smith. We always want to try to get to 5 in double figures, but there's some statistical measures that we look at that we're getting close to meeting.
Robert Morris has opened their second season as a member of the Horizon League at 1-3 and is coming off 2 early road conference games, which they split. Tip-off is set for tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. And finally, the Eagle men's basketball team won't play again until the end of the week. MSU has won 2 of their last 3 games, most recently falling on the road to a very talented Mississippi State team. The team has been learning a lot in their non-conference schedule, and Coach Preston Spradlin says that will continue as they head to Jonesboro, Arkansas, to play in the E-Racism Invitational.
Play 2 games in 2 days there. We'll start Friday night against Arkansas State, and then Saturday against UMKC. Hadn't had a chance to really watch either of them, kind of kept up with their scores a little bit, got familiarity with their teams and their coaches. You know, we played Arkansas State here at home last year, our third game of the year. That was our first win.
Game time Friday night is set for 8 o'clock. The Eagles will tip off again Saturday night at 7. And that's a check of sports for WMKY. I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Jonathan Burton, Alyssa White, Keneally Roberts, Cassidy Stearman, and Ethan Jenkins. Our feature segment this afternoon was from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.